Good evening. Those that are fighting sleep, hopefully we can keep you awake for this one last final session here for today. Thank you for being here, each one of you, spending this afternoon and evening with us. Hopefully you have caught the burden already, the purpose, the heart, for these meetings. Very first message on the heart, and that God looks on the heart, that was done with purpose because that's where it starts. We can have outward conformity, we can do all kinds of things, but if it's not in the heart, then we have nothing. It's a little bit like 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. You can do tremendous things and to the point of offering your own life as a sacrifice, but if you have not love, then profits nothing, it's empty. And so it is with the Christian life in general. If you can go through the motions and act like a Christian, but if it's not in the heart, then it profits nothing. So our heart and our goal is to draw us together into a greater unity. And you know, the topic of modesty that Brother John addressed is one where we see can I just be blunt enough and say we're seeing drift, we're seeing other things coming in, and it's concerning. And our heart and goal is to draw us together to a greater unity in that aspect, along with other topics that we could have assigned. We want a unity that is derived from the principles of God's Word. Even if they're not explicitly commanded, then take the principles. And having said that, that places an importance on the heart, and I think Brother Cornelius did a good job at laying out the importance of the heart. It's important that God's Word finds a resting place in here. If the principles of God's Word don't resonate in our own heart, then what you have heard and what you will hear, even now in the message that I'm about to give, it will seem to you nothing more than legalistic. It's a command of the church, and that's as far as it'll go. And Brother John talked about how, you know, you talk about practical modesty, and usually there's some bucking at it. That's because there's something missing in the heart. The principle within. John Wesley wrote a song, "I Want a Principle Within," and I don't have that song memorized. I did a quick scan in our book. I thought it was maybe in our hymnaries, but I didn't find it in there. But he wrote a hymn entitled, "I Want a Principle Within." And I trust and I hope, I pray that's all of our hearts, because if that's missing, yeah, it will seem legalistic, and you will find yourself fighting. But on the other hand, if our heart is the treasure box for God's Word, and I purposely call it that, a treasure box, if my heart and your heart is a treasure box for the Word of God, then it will not be difficult at all to apply these principles for practical living. So again, our goal is unified living. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." And again, I would say that's our heart. We want our unity, and unity brings about a pleasantness, and we want that. We want that to a greater degree. Now, it's implying that we don't have it, you know, to an extent, but we want more of it. But then the question could be asked, can two walk together, or can more than two walk together except they be agreed? Amos asked that question in Amos 3 verse 3. And brothers, young men, we know the answer. For two to walk together, there has to be an agreement. If there's two and you don't agree, you can't walk together. In the New Testament, we have the example of the early Christians. It is said of them that they had one heart. They had one mind. They had one goal. How? How and why? And I've concluded it's because they had one love. They had a love for Jesus. To what degree? Well, you read in the book of Acts, and it tells us that they were so much one that they had all things common. They were of one accord. Now, that's beautiful to read and to think about and to meditate on and to visualize what that might have looked like, even though it was a different culture, different society than where we find ourselves. But just the concept is beautiful to think about. But then later on, the Apostle Paul says in his writing to the Philippians, and Brother John opened up with this passage. I'm going to read just the next verse also. But in Philippians, the Apostle Paul says this to us. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. You go on to verse 6 and on downward there, and Paul gives the example of Christ in very practical ways. But notice how he says there that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. And again, that's what we're striving for. We're called. Can I say it this way? We are called to what we read of the early Christians. To be of the same mind, to have the same love, and to be of one accord. Again, this sameness, this oneness needs to come through our love for Jesus. Through our love for the Word of God. You know, the more we love Jesus, and Jesus is not divided, right? You read in 1 Corinthians, some said I'm of Paul, others said I'm of Apollos, and then Paul finally asked the question, what, is Christ divided? Christ is not divided. So the more we love Jesus, who is not divided, the more we will want to be unified as a body of believers. If you come here, if I come here, and I have no heart to blend, to you, to be in unity with the body, then I need to ask myself, what am I doing there? What am I doing there? Why am I going there? Our desires, brothers, is that we, as a body, would all speak the same thing. We want to be a body that is not divided in the message that we give out. We want a body that practices Christianity and glorifies Christ in all that we say and do. That is our endeavors. That's a high calling. And I don't think any one of us would say that I've attained that, I'm there. But brothers, that's our vision. Amen? That's our vision. That's where we want to go. That is across the board. It's not limited to modesty. It's not limited to what I'm about to talk about. But that gives you a little bit of a heart for these sessions here today. So I trust you understand where we're going and where we're coming from. Before we get into the message for tonight, I'd like to just have a word of prayer. Eternal Father, we are very grateful for this opportunity to be gathered together here. We are very grateful for this country that allows us to gather like this. We are grateful for the peace that we have. Father, we are grateful for what we've already heard, and we continue to pray that those things would continue to grow within us, and it would bear much fruit. Likewise, with all that we will now yet share, Father, I pray, Father, give us a vision, a renewed vision, maybe even a fresh vision, Father. We commit ourselves to you and ask for your blessing on your word. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. For this last session for today, we want to look at the topic of courting versus dating. I don't know if there's anyone here. I can only recall ever preaching one time on this topic of courtship. I don't know if anyone here remembers that. Most of you wouldn't have been here. It's a topic that we don't, probably don't give enough attention to. It's a topic probably that I find myself having taken for granted, that everyone just kind of would latch onto the vision practice that we had. But what really, over the last couple of years, I've had this on my heart to actually preach on it on a Sunday morning. And then thanks to James and Melody, they started courting. Well, I wasn't about to preach a message just as they had started their courtship, because that would make it seem a little bit like, oh, really? So we put it off, and there's been other times where I thought, okay, well, yeah, we'll try it and prepare for it. But then, for whatever all reasons, it never happened. And here we are. We find ourselves again. I think Matthew is gone, right? Matthew and Sharon have entered into a courtship, and I could have used that again, saying, well, no, not now. But finally, I feel like we just have to, regardless. So before we get into the message, I just want to make a few disclaimers. Number one, I do not want this to be a reflection of any courtship that is presently taking place or has recently taken place, nor do I want this to be a reflection on us, those of us who have been married for many years, and we didn't have what I feel like God would have for us. So I want that to be understood. The goal and the purpose here tonight is to give you a vision of what I feel, and I think it's safe to say what we as a ministry feel is a safe practice. Another disclaimer would be that I do not feel that this is the only way a godly courtship can take place, but I believe it's at least a way, and there are certain principles that must be if there will be a godly courtship. Another disclaimer would be that the Word of God doesn't offer us a lot of direct, plain instruction on this topic. It doesn't tell us. It tells us about the married life and how we should treat each other as husband and wife. It tells us how to train children or gives us some principles. But in this whole aspect of pursuing a spouse, Scripture is rather silent. We have some examples, you know, of Isaac and Rebecca and we can learn from. But overall, Scripture is fairly silent on this, how to pursue a spouse. And then lastly, I want to put out there as a disclaimer that as I contrast courtship versus dating, I do so realizing that maybe even some of the experiences here that you may have had may be different than how I explained them. So I will speak in general terms in that sense, not all-inclusive, saying this is how every dating relationship goes. Just for curiosity's sake, who of us in here had a courtship experience in seeking a spouse? One there, one there, one there. So three. Three out of 30-some sitting here. Now, obviously, so we have some that are younger. Praise God. I didn't. I never heard the term courtship. Nor did I know anyone in my circle of friends, and maybe even within the circle of my parents, that practiced courtship. I actually never heard the term courtship until years after I was married. And for those of us that are familiar with Charity Christian Fellowship, the Tape Ministry, it would have been the Godly Home series. In there, no, not in there. Is it in there? Is that part of that? I don't think so. There was a Godly Courtship series by its own that Brother Denny preached. And somehow we came across that. So never having heard the term courtship, only familiar with the term dating, in my unconverted life, I was disgusted with what I saw happening in the dating world. I saw that something was very, very wrong. It was called dating. I looked at it and I say, "This, it's a game. It's a dating game. That's all it is." And I was disgusted by it. Now, I'm thankful that I did not enter into any boy-girl relationship until after I was converted. But like I said, even in my unconverted state, I was disgusted with what I was known as dating. So because I purposed in my heart that I wouldn't do the common accepted thing, dating, the way they were dating, and maybe I should explain why I call it the dating game. It was literally playing with girls. That's what it was. There was a goal of trying to entice girls and see how many girls you could go out with. There was actually some young men that had a goal to see if they could date the most girls. There was competition. I call it a game. Well, because I didn't want that, I never entered into a relationship in my unconverted years. I never said, no way, it's not happening. And so I ended up with what I would call a mix between dating and courting, not having heard the term courtship ever. I compared my relationship, my experience with that, which what I was seeing going on around me, even including my brothers. And I would have concluded that I had so much more than what they had by not having a girl. I concluded that. I had more than they had. I had so much more than what was going all on around me, everything I saw around me. But when I compare what I had to what I could have had, I fell way short. So on the one hand, I was blessed. On the other hand, coming to light some years after we were married, oh, I wish I could have had so much more. I saw I could have. But that has put something in my heart that I want something more. I want something more for my daughters, and I want something more for the young people of the church. There's only one way, brothers, that we can make this happen. We must get a vision. We must get a vision for godly courtships. And as fathers, we must instruct our children principles that will guide them down this path. It will not go well, for the most part, it will not go well if it's viewed only as an expectation of the church. We need to instruct them in preparation long before they ever enter into such a relationship. We can't wait till they're 15, 16 years old. Young men, for this to happen, you must have a heart after God's heart. And if your father is weak in teaching, you can still have a godly courtship as you love God and His Word. Vision. 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 Both for us as parents and for the young people, we need to have a vision. It requires a vision if glorifying God through courtship is to happen. Scripture says that without a vision, we can count on failing. It says where there is no vision, the people perish. That's in Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision. So let's ask ourselves, what is my vision as a father? What is your vision as a young person? Vision makes a huge difference. So how is courtship different than dating? What is courtship? Courtship is a relationship between a man and a woman in which they seek to determine if it's God's will for them to marry. That's courtship. Under the protection, guidance, and blessing of parents and or mentors and church leadership, the courting couple will concentrate on developing a deep friendship that could lead to marriage. The idea is marriage. It's not a playing field. It's not a playground. It's to see if God would have us marry. We have marriage in mind. And as, you know, this courting couple, as they discern their readiness for marriage and then God's timing and all of that, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 gives this instruction, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. A courting couple, a godly courting couple, a couple that is desiring a godly courtship, that is pursuing a godly courtship, their trust is in the Lord. They know they can't rely on their own understanding. Their own understanding is intertwined. It is part of the whole courtship process, absolutely. But they know not to lean on their own understanding. If there's any certain level of maturity in this courting couple, they will say, our trust is in God. I don't lean on my own understanding. I value the input, the wisdom, the instruction of my parents and other authorities. That's the approach a godly courtship takes. Or should I say, should take. Courtship is a choice. Dating is a choice. Courtship is a choice to avoid temptation and experience the blessing of purity. It is a choice to not emotionally give away one's heart piece by piece by piece to many through casual dating relationships. And that's exactly what I saw happening and what I observed in my unconverted state. This boy with this girl stole a little bit of her heart, went on to this girl and stole a little bit of her heart. Brothers, that is not right. That is not something God would bless. Courtship is a choice to give your whole heart to the one you sense God leading you to marry for life. I think it's such a beautiful. I know there was some naysaying about the last wedding we had and how it was overpromoted and whatnot. But I tell you, there is nothing like a young man and a young lady being able to give each other their whole heart. In all purity. There's nothing like it. Courtship is a choice to wait for God's best, for his glory. Courtship is a choice where you trust in the Lord. It's a choice to walk by faith. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That is critical in courtship. Sight is needed, but sight can derail us. Sight can distract us. Sight can cause us to take matters into our own hands. Sight can cause us to trust in ourselves. We walk by faith. Courtship, it is a decision to trust in God. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. It's a choice to honor others above self. Romans 12, 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Another important principle. In courtship, seeking the honor of the other, preferring the other before yourself. What that does is it crucifies self. When we think of courtships, we think of a young man and a young lady. Now, I'm going to use the term young man, young lady, maybe throughout the evening here a little bit. It could be an older single man and an older single lady. But generally speaking, I think when we think of courtship, we think of young people. So I'm going to say, you know, we have a young man, we have a young lady. Each comes from a different family. Could be different in culture. It could be different in many ways. But at least they do come from separate homes, separate families. And each would come with a set of their own circumstances that are unique to themselves. And as you consider that, that would call for each courtship to be somewhat unique in itself also. But all courtship relationships should and will hold to general guidelines for that relationship. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter how unique they are, there will be some general guidelines for that relationship that all should follow. But some of the specific choices about when and where and how to court may differ according to the needs and circumstances. And I would think even to play in there would be this whole aspect of how mature is this young couple that's courting. You know, you have an older couple courting. Well, obviously there's less cause for concern. They're more mature. You could have long-distance relationships. Well, that will affect on how and when the whole courting takes place. But I want to say again, no matter how unique, how different, no matter what kind of relationship it is, courtship is intended for marriage. Courtship itself, mark it down, courtship itself is not a binding relationship, though, as some would make it to be. Courtship is not a binding relationship yet. If during the whole courtship process, one or both parties realize that marriage is not God's will for them, at least not at this time, and they end that relationship, some would say that courtship failed. I would say it did not fail. It served its purpose. They were getting to know each other, and they found out, wait a minute, no, this doesn't seem like God's leading us together. So that's not a failure. And so that's why I say courtship itself is not a binding relationship. It's a time of getting to know each other and find out, does God have him for me or her for me? So that would actually makes the courtship successful, as much as it would be painful. And I think there's a lot of groundwork that should be done before the courtship ever begins to try to avoid the termination of a courtship. So a lot of work can be done ahead of time, should be done ahead of time. But I hope that makes sense. It can still end up in termination, and it's not a failure. Now again, thinking of the difference between dating and courtship. So I gave you a little bit of a rundown on courtship, the way I view it. The way we have over the years seen it, I think ever since the church began, we embraced this vision. Now let's consider the dating aspect a little bit. What's the purpose of a dating relationship? Now again, I have to be careful that I won't make it all inclusive. So what I'm going to say, take it as in general, as a common practice, a common view. But I would say that one of the main differences between dating and courtship involves the goals to be reached by spending time with a potential marriage partner. Men and women who choose to date often have no commitment to consider marrying that person. It's just, excuse the language, but back in my day, we called it a fling. Just a fling. Date this one girl for one or two, three Sundays, and then off to another one. That seems to be common in dating, in the mentality of dating. Maturity and readiness for marriage are not consideration in this decision to date. You know, instead, couples usually date with the selfish goals of having fun and enjoying romantic attachments. I still scratch my head and wonder, where does the concept come from that at the age of 16, you're free to date? Not saying no 16-year-old is ready for marriage, but how many 16-year-olds do we know that are ready to enter a marriage relationship? And yet it was very common in our background. 16, you're loose. Courtship is very different. Courtship is undertaken only when both parties are prepared to make a commitment to marriage. Dating, if we could say that dating has a question that it tries to answer, it would be a question something like, how can I find the one who will make me happy? Courtship, if it would was to try to answer a question, it would say, how can I honor God and discern his direction regarding my life partner? Very different. In a dating relationship, there is little, if any, accountability. Was my experience. I don't know of any of my peers whose parents at all got involved. Oh, you have to let me out. You know, and they maybe joke about it a little bit, tease them a little bit. But no accountability. You know, I said I hadn't heard of courtship and all of that, and I hadn't. But there was enough of a sense in me that I went to my now father-in-law and asked if I could court or date Susie. And he was floored. He was shocked. Where is this coming from? Why are you asking? Everybody just does it. I said, no, I want your permission. And you know what? It wasn't granted right away. That's okay. I asked. Where did it come from? I don't know. But I felt compelled to ask. And I asked. Not only is there in dating very little accountability, if any, there seems to be very little or no interaction with other people. It's just the two of us. Very unhealthy. No matter how much, at this point, I would say no matter how mature you think you are, you're playing with fire. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Just not healthy. You know, a dating couple is merely attracted to each other in some way and often pursues an exclusive relationship that is totally independent of others' influence or counsel. Since the boundaries for a dating relationship are self-determined, we know the sad outcome. Many dating relationships end up with children out of wedlock. Happens all the time, still happens. Again, the blessing of a courtship. The couple participates, seeks accountability from parents and other mentors. As they establish guidelines for their relationship, they can more easily recognize that God also holds them accountable, responsible. They receive God's grace. They have God's support. They have God's blessing with them. The dating couple doesn't have that. Purity of mind and body is of no or little concern in the dating world, but it is so high in those who pursue courtship. I hope I'm making the contrast enough that we all say, including you young men, I want courtship, not a dating relationship. You know, in a dating relationship, self-gratification is normally the basis for that relationship. Instead of focusing on what would please God, and we heard about pleasing God, living for God's pleasure, instead of focusing on that, the couple is concerned about each other's pleasure. And in their ignorant self-centeredness leads to much dissatisfaction. I know of some of my friends in my youth days who nearly committed suicide. They were on a suicidal mission because of all the heartbreak involved in dating. They put themselves through the wringer. They didn't know where to go. They had no purpose. It's like life was snuffed right out of them. That doesn't need to happen. That is not God's heart. You know, in the dating world, it promotes an attitude of lust, taking everything that I want, rather than the scriptural attitude of loving, giving unselfishly to others. Dating opens the door for a great many temptations. If defrauding, stirring up desires that cannot be righteously satisfied occurs, the couple can foolishly and tragically give away both emotional and physical affections that should have been reserved for marriage. Whereas a courting couple can avoid numerous temptations by the choice to be held accountable to God-given authorities, the dangers of defrauding can be avoided more successfully, and an honest, open friendship can be returned and can be nurtured and be protected. Thus, in courtship, marriage precedes intimacy. Dating, you have the reverse many times. A godly courtship would take into consideration the instructions that Paul would have written here in 1 Thessalonians 4. And if you want to, you can turn there. But a godly courtship would take to heart these instructions. 1 Thessalonians 4, Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and we're going to apply that walk to courtship, a walk of in the courtship relationship here this evening. Ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Good advice for the Christian living. Very good advice for godly courtships. You know, marriage is the second most important decision man will ever make. You agree? What's the first and foremost important? To choose the Lord Jesus, right? That's the greatest decision man will ever make. But the next one, right next to it, is a marriage partner. This thing should not be taken lightly. It is a huge undertaking. It's a huge responsibility. It's a huge blessing. But it's not to be taken lightly. Since one of the most important decisions we will make is the decision of marriage, we should make every effort to know and to do God's will in this area. You know, again, a dating relationship is usually based on what the dating couple presently knows about each other. I mean, they just focus there. It doesn't, they don't, their mental capacity, their horizon doesn't even expand towards parents to have influence, input there. It's just what we see in each other. A biblical courtship is based on what God knows about each partner and, hey, what does God have for us? If God has marriage for us, what about after marriage? What does God have for us? Jesus gave this instruction with a promise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the all things, can we safely insert spouse, a marriage partner? Is that going too far? I think it's safe to do that. You seek God. You seek the interests of God for your life. You seek the interests of God and his kingdom. Of course God's going to take care of you. He's promised. If he promises to take care of us with bread and clothing, how much more a life partner? Amen? How much more? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, including a spouse, shall be added unto you, providing that that's what he has for you. And for 90-some percent of people, I think it's safe to say, end up getting married. So let's make growing a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ the foundation for all decisions. Seek God's kingdom, and then God will provide all that is needed. including a marriage partner. A marriage partner that is specifically prepared by God for you. What a blessing. How much better can it get? Takes all the guesswork out. We don't need that playing field. Proverbs 18:22 states, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." I'm going to put a little qualifier there. Not that any wife is a bad thing, but not just any wife is a good thing for you. There's a lot of marriage relationships that are very rough. And for whatever reason, they decide to stick it out. But there's many a man and there's many a woman that could say of each other, not good. Not good. But when God brings two people together, it is good. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. One chapter over, chapter 19, verse 14, we read, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." What a blessing. Now, having said, and my hour's about up too. Having said all that we have said now, contrasting dating with courtship, I realize that to some, that using the term courtship or dating is simply a play of words. Now, I will say, granted, there are dating relationships that would, could, and do closely resemble a courtship relationship. It's out there. But I do think that we do well to consider the connotation that comes with dating. You throw the word courtship out there. There's actually many a person today that wouldn't understand that term. And those that do say that's a dated term. Many would say courtship has the connotation of much restrictions. You throw the word dating out there, and what do you have? Dating seems to be a worldly term that is largely motivated for and by the flesh. And that's the connotation it gives. Living for the gratification of self, the fulfillment of self. That's what dating, in general, that's the connotation that you get. Whereas in courtship speaks of a sanctified, holy relationship. Which one do you want? Now, regardless of the terms, both can have sinful practices in it. Both. It doesn't matter. It's not this, the protection and the safety is not in the term. It's not in courtship. Oh, they're courting, so okay, all of God's blessings will be on them. No, it depends on personal choices they make. It's not the term, it's the practice. But yet to me, the term makes a difference. The terms, they leave an impression. Just think with me, just as one example. By law, legally, if a man moves in with a woman, or in this day and age, it could even be a man moving in with a man or a lady with a lady, you move in together, and after X amount of time of living common law, that's the term they use, you're considered married. Now just think with me that if in 10 years down the road, common law is the common expression of marriage, would we adapt that term to represent our marriages? I can't see myself doing it. It has a negative connotation to it. To me, dating and courtship has the same idea. Now, to me, it's a sad thing that even in churches today that would have been familiar with the term courtship are trying to get away from it because it sounds too old-fashioned. I think it's sweet. Courtship has a song to it. I don't know how else to say it. It just has a song to it. It has a sweet tune to it. Dating can be just as sweet, but I don't like that term. All right, so then in conclusion here today, I'm going to, again, for the in the hopes of instilling a vision to those to whom this is new, we heard comments after James and Melody's wedding, we heard comments that, that's almost unattainable. No young people will ever get married if that's the standard. Brothers, that has been our standard. That has been our practice ever since. And so I'm going to lay out to you some steps to take that we as a church would see as a safe practice to enter into a courtship. This is not written in stone. This is not written so that anyone who doesn't do it this way is sinning against God. Not at all. We see this, though, as very safe for our young people. And we want you to grasp the same vision. And this would help us as churches, as families, not to just start doing our own thing. And everyone doing whatever they want. Helps give some guidelines and some order. So steps to enter a courtship. A, both parties must have a clear testimony of salvation before they can enter into a courtship. Must have. B, generally speaking, the pursuit of a courtship relationship begins with a young man praying and seeking direction and clarity from God concerning his interests. Generally, not always. I have heard of where the father nudged his son. But generally speaking, it's the young man. He's waking up. He's interested. Would like to have his own home, his own family. He wakes up. These desires, they arise. And he prays. He seeks direction, clarity from God. And if he feels clear that God has given him a green light to move in that direction, now mind you, in 99.9% of these cases where this happens, they have a specific young lady in mind. So if he feels clear with God to move ahead, then this young man goes to his father. The young man doesn't trust in his own wisdom. And says, hey, I prayed about it and I'm clear. No, great, perfect. He takes it to his father, puts it in his lap, backs away from his father, back to his prayer closet. He continues to pray as his father prays. And if the father or the spiritual authority in that young man's life, as he prays and he's clear to pursue this relationship, he gives his blessing, and then the young man approaches. The young man approaches the young lady's father, providing there's fathers on both sides, or the spiritual authority. And now he expresses his desire to this young lady's father. This he does secretly. It's not public news. It's not being broadcasted. They have a secret meeting. Maybe it's a phone call. And then he backs away again, back to his prayer closet. And lets the father of the young lady pray about it. And he opens himself up to this young lady's father to be questioned. Whatever questions this father of the young lady would have, he's open to being asked. And he waits. He answers, and he waits. Now he's a godly young man, right? So it's not so hard for him. But it's hard. It's not easy. And as if the father of the young lady asks questions, and if he comes to, give a green light, then this father would inform the young man, I'm clear, I'm okay. I will now present it to my daughter. And now the young man needs to be open that the daughter can ask her father any questions she might have. This is what I meant before when I said there's a lot of work that goes on before you ever enter the courtship relationship. This is all happening before. And as the young lady seeks the Lord, and she too feels clear, we can move ahead. I'm ready. I'm willing. Then the father or the spiritual authority from both sides, I believe, should seek the blessing from one of the church leaders. Hey, so-and-so is interested in my daughter. What do you know about him? Are there any concerns? Not the whole church ministry needs to know. Not the whole church needs to know what's happening. No. But one of the ministries should be informed. And asked, just as a safety. Hey, sometimes we hear things that others don't hear. Are there any concerns? And if there's no concerns within the ministry of the church, or if they're both from different churches, then, hey, they feel clear. Then the father or the spiritual authority informs the young man that they may meet, have their initial meeting as a young couple potentially to start courting. And I believe that the initial meeting should be a time where they can ask each other now face to face any questions they would have. Questions that maybe they hadn't thought of before, or questions that they just felt like, I need to ask him or her this myself. I need to see the facial expression when I'm asking this. Whatever. Any questions they would have, this is the opportunity. This is the initial meeting, and again, this meeting would be a secret meeting. It wouldn't be public news. Shouldn't be public news, because the courtship has not yet begun. It's about to begin. Possibly be determined by this initial meeting face-to-face as a young lady and a young man. But when it's all done, and they feel clear to, we want to pursue this relationship, then, before they meet consecutively, there needs to be a public announcement made so that there's everyone knows, hey, this is out in the open. This is sanctioned, if I can say it that way. And if they are from two different congregations, that announcement should be made in both congregations. And then the courtship would be considered official. And they could start courting. In this courtship, many of the rules, guidelines will be clarified and defined by those that are in authority over this young couple. But as a church, our vision and practice is that it's a hands-off courtship. It's another one of those things that is scoffed at, mocked at, and try to just do away with it. But in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, "Now concerning the things whereof I wrote unto ye wrote unto me," he says, "it is good for a man not to touch a woman." That is a very good, safe principle to apply in courtship. Hands off. The more physical contact there is made between a man and a lady, the more the emotions will arise unhealthily. And depending on the character of the individuals, those emotions could overtake them. So we say, hands off. Now, hands off can be defined. It can be, you know, can they shake hands when they meet? And can they shake hands when they depart? That can be determined. A simple handshake, I'm not talking about a 30-second prolonged handshake here. We're just talking a handshake. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think any emotions will rise up in a simple handshake. You know, God bless you. We'll see you again next week, Lord willing, or whatever, right? That can be determined by the couple and their authorities. Secondly, as a must in the guideline, I would say is you spend, as a courting couple, you spend a lot of your time, most of your time around other people. Around and with other people, and understanding that you need time alone. Absolutely, I understand that. I can't see how you would build a relationship if you didn't have time alone. But that time alone could be you here while there's someone else or a group of other people doing something over there, but you're here by yourself. You're not in the secrecy or privacy of a room somewhere by yourself. Again, unhealthy emotions arising and taking over and whatnot. Have your time alone, knowing there's people that could be watching. But you're far enough away where you can have your conversation and they're not hearing what you're saying. Time alone is needed, but not all the time, and never totally out of sight, I would say, for the most part. When traveling together, I don't know how it was for James and how they did it. I haven't asked. I didn't hear any concerns. But when traveling together from one place to another, from A to B and B to A, it's very healthy to have someone else in the car with you. A little chaperone. Doesn't even have to be a 20-year-old. It could just be a 6-year-old sibling. Just someone else in there as a healthy practice. And lastly, I would say, in your time alone as a courting couple, spend time praying together and reading the Word of God together. Build your relationship on that spiritual rock, and out of it, let the other things fall into place. So may God add his blessing.